This is one of my favorite topics. I have like two or three vaden like outstanding. I don't mean that they're good. I mean they're literally outstanding. Like it's waiting. Outstanding means it's waiting. I'm supposed to finish one on self-confidence, but I don't remember where I put my papers. So I have to get a new one, and hopefully I won't say the same thing. But I had such good material that I want to finish with that. I put on the Mar Makoma sheet. I was going to call you, Matan, before, but then I got busy. I recently put on a Mar Makoma sheet, either right before camp or during camp or something, and I said, oh, that'll be a vod. That's a good vod material. I don't know when I did that.
It was a schmooze near the end of the year.
So I couldn't find that piece of paper either. See, I'm very organized with my vod papers. And so I want to do that. And then I also remember the last schmooze when I came here on Shabbos, I think it was, I wanted to say over this schmooze, I didn't get to it. And I said, oh, that would also be a good vod. So that's the one I remembered. I couldn't find my sheets, so I didn't file it yet. But I didn't remember the Mar Makom, so I'm gonna use the Mar Makom. It's such an important, especially during El, it's very important to have, you know, the right hashkafa. When my friend was speaking last night, so it occurred to me as he was referring to the Musar, and when he mentioned the story of Rabbi Yashiv, that someone came to him, that this Talmud, he's everything perfect, he doesn't go to any shmuzim, and he doesn't go to any musseder. And I'm sure everyone here thinks that, you know, he said to go for the shidduch. That's what I would say. That's pashut. Of course I would tell him that. Think that the guy doesn't come to any shmuzim. He doesn't come to any musa shmuzim. Like, what is that guy? What is that guy? Is something wrong with the guy? Like, have his head checked. He goes to a yeshiva, and he doesn't go hear the Rebbe's musa shmuz. I would consider throwing him out of the yeshiva. Maybe we wouldn't, because we're too nice. We don't. But I wouldn't go to shidduch with him. Are you crazy? How can you go to a shidduch with a guy who doesn't show up to the Rebbe shmuzim? Like, it means he's like on strike. So he'll get angry at his wife, he'll go on strike again. Like, what was the shaila? So like, I saw from that story, now Rabbi Friend was trying to speak to the crowd. He assumed, I mean, our friend himself didn't think it was such a chiddush probably, because otherwise he wouldn't have said, oh, he understood the story. He was trying to say it over it. But the presumption is that most people thought would think it was such a big Kiddush. Huh? Oh, come on, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, I don't know. I don't know pshat in that story then. I do not know pshat in the story. Everything's perfect except that he doesn't learn any Musar. Okay, guys have a hard time sitting down in front of the Sharm, but he doesn't go to any Musar Shmuzim, he said that also. So, I don't know, like, so you see we have to kiss the walls of the yeshiva. Next time you're walking by a wall, kiss the walls of the yeshiva that you don't think that's such a bichidish. I had the same thing, like, huh? You need Rabbi Yashiv to tell you not to go into shidduch with that? Okay, so call me. Anyone has shayla? Rabbi Yashiv, if you need Rabbi Yashiv to paskin, I'm Rabbi Yashiv. I will paskin the shaylas for shidduchim. That to me was like a no-brainer. It's like throwing Babe Ruth. Like a softball underhand pitch. Oh, Rabbi and Rashi Paskin. So I don't know what was the shaila on that. So okay, so it was very important. Okay, so this would be a gevaldik shmuz, but I couldn't say it anyway until Kiseitse anyway. So use it as a beautiful vad. It's really on two psukim together with Rabbag. Rabbag says in Parshas Kiseitse there are two psukim. First pasuk says, "V'chiyev v'ish chet mishpat mavas v'humas." If someone was chayev misa, it's chaf aleph chaf beis. Perek of aleph pasuk chaf beis, and it's referring to someone who's chayev misa for being a megadev, which means like he's blasphemizing Hashem, for over avodah zarah, and he's bowing down to idols. So you have to give them skila. You have to know you give them skila, and then you hang them. So just a beautiful ceremony. You stone the guy, then you hang his dead body from the wherever it was on the tree. It's like Haman. Lahosif yir lanashim alich b'dacheim, to bring yira, to add yira to people, to add fear to people who they shouldn't follow in his ways. The guy was mamish cursing Hashem. He was over the Avodah Zarah. So you want to have good discipline policies? You take a guy, you stone him, and you hang him from a tree. And that stops people from following his ways. That sounds like a great... I don't ask you, we don't, you know, that's the Ribono Shel Olam. You know, that's what we do. Yeah, Rabbag says that. I mean, the Pasuk says, V'salisa oso ala eitz. That you don't need the Rabbag for. He just adds in, that's lahosiv yiril anashim alicha b'dechim. Now he says the pshat is why... well, it does say right before him that you stone him, uvi'art haram mikirbecha, v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro. That's the famous pasuk of, you know, yishmu v'yiro. But you have to be careful. No one should exercise any rayas from here when you do man yishmu v'yiro. I'm not trying to bring any shmuzim. It's not a shmuz. This is a bad. Okay? And so then you hang him on the tree. That's probably where the Rabbah got it from. And that will stop people from going their path. You see the guy stoned and hanging from a tree. Then, the very next pasuk says, "Lo solin nivlos ola eitz, ki kavar tikbrenu b'yomahu." You should not keep him on the eitz. You have to bury him that day. Zok the Ralbag. You have to bury him on that day. He shouldn't overnight be hanging from the tree. Why? I don't know. I thought it was going to say something like, you know, Sfart Tzelem Elokim, the goof was a Tzelem Elokim. And I was expecting to see that shot. That, you know, Sfart's a human being. So, man yishro. But he writes, why? Kadesh lo yizker puloseim hamagunos. That people shouldn't remember the terrible deeds. Look what Klal Yisrael did. They were over the Avodah Zarah and Megadif. So again, I want to concentrate on the Tanach Chazor Sashmuz, and I'm sure we have people want to ask questions, but I mamish don't mind. I would love to turn it into a Sashmuz, but I don't want to get distracted. But to me, I had such a kasha. Like, this sounds to be like the schizo. Make up your mind. What do you want? What do you want? You want to do discipline, or you want to protect your image? If you want to do discipline, hang the guy in a tree, put him there one day, 2 days. How long can you get out of it until it's like already not needed anymore? Keep up there as long as you want, as long as you can. And when it starts to ever the body decompose, Rahman al-Islam, you can't do it anymore, then you take him down. But you put him up, and that same day you have to bury him. Why? I thought Elokim, okay, what can you do? But no, that's not the reason. The reason is that Shlo Yizkar Puloseim, people should remember the Hamagunos, the terrible deeds, V'yeb Zechil Lashem. So it's like, make up your mind. Which way is it? Do we want people to say, look what they did, and you should stay away from what they did, L'man Yishviro? Or do you want to protect the image and it shouldn't be a Chil Hashem? So maybe the answer is obvious, really, really building up the kasha. We see that we have to have both. They're opposite theories, opposite agendas, and we have to do both. We have to do L'man Yishmiro, and we have to protect against Chil Hashem. We have to do both. And this brings us to a very, very important topic of being well balanced. It's very, very important. And, you know, we have an agenda and we want to go full force. Okay, I want to get it clear. So, you know, like a mushel, a guy wants to go on a diet, he's going to go on a starvation diet because he wants to lose the weight. So he's not going to eat anything. He's going to starvation and lose all the weight. But think about it. Let's say a guy really could do that, go on a starvation diet. You know, 3 weeks, he'll knock off 20 pounds, right? And he'll be so excited. Okay, but what's going to happen after the 3 weeks? You can't keep it up forever, a starvation diet, unless he has an eating disorder. But you can't keep it up, hopefully. And then he's going to gain the weight back. In the long run, that's not called balance. That's not called starve for 3 weeks and then eat for 3 weeks. We have to do both. We have to balance. So I was preparing for a few notes. Just at the beginning of this man, you know, people are on a high, hopefully. I meant high, inspired in learning. But even when we're so inspired, it's important that we take a break. The rod break's built into the day, but a person has to take advantage of a break. Why is taking a break? You know, I know we're not trying to squelch. I'm not here to squelch any of the extra starm people have. You know, there's a lot of things that have to be accomplished, but we also have to stay balanced. Ish kafi madregasa. Each person according to the madrega of where they're holding that day, where they're holding that zman, where they're holding in their life, what they feel they could handle. Don't live your life based on somebody else. Whatever you feel you can handle, you have to take a break. Sometimes you might even feel right now you don't need the break. Okay, it's fine. But maybe in a few days, if you don't take the break today, when you do need the break, you're going to burn out. So a person has to be balanced. You just have to do things with a balance. The Rosh Hashiva used to say that a person has to have 1 day vacation for every year they are old. 1 day vacation a year for every year they are old. So if you're, you know, whatever, 90, so you need 90 days vacation a year. That's what you say. 90 days vacation is 1 every 4 days. You know, I'm not saying, I know where you got that rule from. It's what he once told me. But just the hair, a person's 20 years old, so he needs 20 days a year. Now you have Chol HaMoed. There are days that a person has. Okay, you don't want to count it. I'm not saying to count it. You have Ben Azmanim. There's breaks. There's you know, we have a midwinter vacation, but the hair, the body, and the mind need a break also. So, but let's say, you know, I feel the strength. I could learn during the entire midwinter vacation. I could learn during the entire Hanukkah vacation. I could learn during the entire summer vacation. Yeah, okay, it's very good. Very good, and a person should discuss it, but need a break. So I'm not telling any one person that you have to, you know, go somewhere, but just the hair, that the body does need it. So when you make the decision, you have to make the decision, you have to keep that in mind. I would advise people during this month to go for a walk. You know, don't just spend, you know, it's an in Shabbos to in Shabbos. So you could literally, other than going to the dorm and back, you could just not get out of the yeshiva. So it could make a guy batty, you know, and then you won't realize that that's why you're going batty. And after a while, everything around you becomes irritable. You become irritable. Like a person just needs to, you know, to get out, clear your head, go swimming. You could call me up, I have a pool, you know, you can go swimming. You could just relax, clear your mind. Clear your mind, it's very important. Rabbi Trapper Zatzal used to speak about, he thought it was very good, the little kids, you know, they have these, stories with Cinderella and Snow White, and these fantasy stories are very good imagination, great imagination. It's like the mind could escape somewhere. I know people get addicted and go be watching videos all day. I'm not suggesting that you do that. I'm just saying that there is a piece of it that could be healthy. It's like an escape, the mind could escape. when I was 16 years old, I wanted to play for the New York Yankees. And I could throw a strike. This is true. I could throw a strike from the right field corner to home plate, boom, on a strike. I could throw a strike from right field corner, but problem is from the pitcher's mound, I had absolutely no control. So it was I would pitch like overhand, fight, and if anyone was batting, I might kill them. I had no control. I hit people in the head. But then one day I remember when I was in high school, my friends, Sharfin, we called Yankee Stadium. We want them to send down a scout to Kamenetz to watch me pitch. We said a guy could throw in the 90s. And we were talking on the phone with Yankee Stadium, but they told us to come down. I was 16, I was too young. You come to the stadium, but they can only come on Saturday. I said, we're Sabbath observers, you can't come on Saturday. He says, oh, no, you can't come Saturday. So there's a slot for a ball boy. So come for a ball boy, and then one day in between games or something like that, we'll try you out. But I said, I can't do ball games on Saturday. They said, I'm sorry, you can't. But every time I wanted a break, I would think about, wow, maybe I would have been pitching for the New York Yankees. I'd be making $1 trillion. Me and, every so often I would say, okay, if I really, it doesn't work out, I'm going to go play for the New York Yankees. It's baloney. The story is true. But, the mind, it's okay. The mind can escape sometimes, somewhere. It's very important to socialize with friends. So, yes, bedafka, you should do things with your friends sometimes. You shouldn't just be by yourself. Let's say a guy could learn, by himself with his chavrusa. I mean, in yeshiva, that's not the reason why they did it. You weren't allowed to learn with the same chavrusa two zmanim in a row. And a zman was El to Pesach, and a second zman was Pesach till El. So you couldn't learn with somebody two zmanim in a row. You had to switch chavrusas. So, okay. That they did that because they wanted, the best guys are just going to keep learning together, and there will not be any kind of, interaction. So the bedafka made sure that there was interaction. But there were milas to it, because when you learn with someone, you get to know them really, really well, and it developing friendships and socializing with different people, not just your two close friends, is very, very important. It's very, very important. It gives you breadth with a D. It gives you greater scope. You learn how to deal with different types of individuals. Your best friend, yeah, maybe thinks exactly like you, but learn with someone who doesn't think just like you. It's a little bit different. You get to get along with different types of people, and you have to adjust, and you have to ask your, questions in this way and not that way. It's important. So get around, try and learn with different types of people. It's good, and even sometimes if it makes it a little bit difficult because, we like learning with him so much, but there's also advantages to it. It provides like different experiences for you. It could be very, very helpful. It's interesting that a couple of friends who I went to high school with, elementary school and high school, as you heard many times, Roy Sharfin, and there were a couple others I stayed in touch with, but most of my friends that I have after that, I became friends from camp. Chalice I met after high school, and we made close friends, and other people, Yisrael Lomonthal's father, and then afterwards became friends with people, even yeshiva. I speak to Ray Dudovitz, I called him yesterday, see how he's doing. It's important to develop friendships. It helps you. You never know. Like certain times you feel like calling this person because they can help you with this thing or talk things through, or it can be helpful to them also. It's important to get around, talk to different types of people. One of the guys told me this week that when talking about the yeshiva, he said that the guys mostly everyone stays to themselves. So. I'm not sure what he meant. I didn't really explore, but I'm not criticizing at all. I'm just saying, not because that guy didn't like it. I'm just saying for ourselves, expand our horizons, try and get to different types of people. Play ball one day. I always drive by when I leave the building. I always try and go back the back way to see if like anyone's doing anything. It's like, the place is boring. You know, I love to see some guys play basketball. I see, I had to have four people on the basketball court, you know, the other day, but there were four high school kids. But we play ball. We have to do things in groups. If you do things by one, you can't get too far in terms of socializing. You do one at a time. So you do one at a time. Okay, you know, it's nice, but you know, but you try. People should try and organize things to do as a group. Okay, if you have to leave the campus to do something, that's a pain in the neck. You have to get a car. You have to walk, schlep. It's so hot outside. Not the time to do it. But you can do things as a group over here. You know, there's advantage to it. Basketball is easy because it's good to do that once a week, once a month. Make it a Seder once a month and play basketball. All the guys can go and have a basketball tournament once a month. But it's very helpful because you get to see and get around with different people. I wanted to... No, I learned some of this, but most people are bashful. Not everyone. People are not bashful. But, you know, shyness is a good thing. It protects us from embarrassment. And it's a midah of, you know, by shyness. It's a good midah. It comes from a good midah. But it shouldn't stop us from getting around. I got such chizuk. I tried. I didn't do this past year. But I tried to come second night Shavuos. You know, to learn. And I was here 1 year, and there weren't too many guys here, and Yosef Etedgi was here, and Yosef Etedgi, he was like in 10th grade, I don't know what he was, like 11th grade, and he went around, there were like maybe 8 chavrusas learning, he went around, he spent like 45 minutes with, he just walked over to me and say, oh, what are you learning? And he learned with them for like 45 minutes, an hour, like, I behelped them and told them shot in the whole Mazakhla or something like that. And like, wow, that you know, and I asked people, did you like arrange with Yosef Etedgi? Like I was so impressed. Maybe he has a good secretary that he arranged every 45 minutes to learn with someone else. He didn't arrange nothing. He just went from table to table, learned with different people. So it's such a gemalik thing. So I did the same thing. The next time, you know, I think the next year Shavuos I was here, and I started going around different tables to learn. It's not easy. It's not easy to do, but you have to get over Rabbi Shanas. You let's say you're learning. It's good if you're learning and you did a Tosfos. Go over to people on the table next to you and see how they learn. Just like hack them up. Oh, how'd you learn this? You know, hack them up. You know, put like do in their face a little bit. Like you probably learned Mong Shat over here. You know, start up with people. Yeah, have a good time. But just get out of your Dalai Lamas. Don't just sit in your seat for like 8 hours a day, 6 hours a day. Like learn with other people. They would thrive, they'd love it. You know, you can't just sit in your place. And also you answer their questions and you get a new slant on it. Here's another thing. I can't just give the balance on the side of the things that, you know, make it easy. There's one thing the hair is also very important. You have to also be committed. So I was telling this to someone the other day. Find something that you will always do. And don't take on something unless you could do it, but that shows commitment. Something that you could always do. Like, I wouldn't tell them that. I'm always gonna keep every minute of Seder. Don't say take that on. It's too hard. But what can you always do? You know, there are things you could always do. Pick something small and do it. If it takes 5 seconds a week, do it. If there's something that you could do. 5 seconds a week. I got all pumped. I'm giving one of my examples, personal examples. I got really pumped a few years ago. I learned the Hilchos Kiddush Levana, and I looked up like different things on Kiddush Levana. I got all mamish excited for Kiddush Levana. So I try to get into Kiddush Levana. It's like a pretty easy mitzvah. It's only once a month. You're saying it anyway, usually if you're in shul. I think one time I was, I was sick. I didn't die. I didn't go to shul Motzei Shabbos, and I forgot that they were saying Kiddush Levana. And then by the time the next week, it was too late to say Kiddush Levana. I totally forgot about it. No, it could happen. That's why I think I don't know who the Gabbai is, but you have to every month put up on the door, like when the last night is for Kiddush Levana. Because if for whatever reason a person misses davening Motzei Shabbos, you only get one. Sometimes there are certain months you only get one opportunity, because the first Shabbos is too early, and if you miss the next Shabbos, the third Shabbos is too late. So then you have to do it during the week. So you, like, take on something that you could do always. It shows commitment. You know, I would tell someone if, like, to make a Seder, like we're in yeshiva, so it happens, but like, is there 10 minutes, is there 5 minutes of Seder that we could always try and be at, no matter what it is, well, maybe if it's a davening, or if it's, you know, I'm going to make sure that, you know, it's like it can be a maksim lefi. Take on something that you could always do. Because even if everything gets messed up on that day, and any time you have a bad day, that there's one thing you always could say, check off. I don't know what it is. You can make one bracha a day with kavana. I don't know what it is. But take on one thing, because it shows commitment. It keeps you attached to something. I had a cousin, my wife's cousin, was actually my mother-in-law's first cousin. He was Nifter. And they said by his levaya that he gave tzedakah twice a day when he was in shul. And he used to give 26 cents. Now, I'm not saying you have to give 26 cents. You give a quarter, but 26 cents is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. I don't know what the inyan is. Why should you give tzedakah the gematria of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei? Is there an inyan? I do not know. Maybe there is. People give $18 high. Does it make a difference if you give 18 or 20? I don't know. I have no idea. It could be there is. But what struck me about, which they highlighted at the Hesped, was that he always gave 26 cents. When's the last time you had 26 cents in your pocket? You have a quarter in your pocket? Okay. If you have carry a wallet with change, okay, I guess it's reasonable you're going to have a quarter. But how is it possible to always have 26 cents? I would think just the opposite. If you always have 26, always have pennies in your pocket, you're like some loser, why you always have pennies there? It's like, he always gave 26 cents. Every time he gave tzedakah, the pushka, he gave 26 cents. What struck me about the story is, like, he took, I was thinking about what example to give. I'm just giving an example. I don't know if it means anything. I'm not saying it's a mitzvah deraisa to give 26 cents. What I'm saying is, he took on something with a hargosh that he did all the time, 26 cents. Here's another one that, you know, to protect against, you know, chalila, sometimes people get down. I know, just the yetzahara, you know, the person what comes over them is the feeling of, am I accomplishing or I didn't accomplish? The person has good days and bad days and everything. He got into an argument with this one, or that one, and it just gets you down. But the one thing that you could always feel good about is when the best feeling is when you help somebody else. Because you can't get failed. You could help someone in learning. If there's someone that needs help, help them in learning. You almost know there are people who always need help in learning. If you're going shopping, you could set up a gemach. I thought it was a great thing. There's a shmooze that Yeshiva had my Eliezer, Eved Avram. So Avram Avinu, in opening up a Parshas Vayera, so Avram Avinu sent Eliezer out to, because what happened was Avram Avinu had his bris, and he was recuperating, convalescing. So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Rashi says, to protect Avram from having to run around and do chesed, he took the casing out of the sun, and Mimela, there was no archim. So Avraham Avinu, like, there's no archim, I want to do chesed. So he sent Eliezer out to do chesed. And Eliezer came back and said, there's no one around. So Avraham Avinu said, from here we learn out that an Eved Kanani is not Neman. Say a shmuz that Eved Kanani, it was not just an Eved Kanani, it was Eliezer, Eved Avraham, who all the Torah that Avraham had, he gave over to Eliezer, and he acquired all of the Torah of Avraham. And yet even he said, from here we learn out Eved Kanani is not Neman. And because it's not possible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Olam Chesed Yibana. And then Avraham Avinu himself came out, and that's how the parsha opens up. Vayera, the beginning of the parsha, Vayera Hashem, Be'elori Mamre, the three malachim came. Avraham Avinu went out to do the chesed himself, and the three malachim appeared. If you go out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be chesed to do. It's a pretty fascinating shmooze, but the point that I'm trying to bring out is that there is always chesed. Take on a gemach. It doesn't have to be a fancy gemach. You can make a gemach for paper clips. Okay? You go out and buy a thing of paper clips, and you have a put a thing in the back. I haven't walked back in that corner yet.
It's tables.
No, I did. I had to put it back at some sofa the other day. But I forgot to look if what's holding by that gemach. And you can make a paper clip gemach. It's your gemach. You put gemach on it, paper clips, you could write a whole, you could write like 20 rules like they do for the Bikiyas Bikinas. Like, I love that story because Mr. Krishnabab told me in the Mir Yeshiva, I never read that. I thought it was a great idea with the Bikiyas Bikinas. And if I had time, I would write voluntary Bikinas for the Mishnah Berurah also. But I'm going to get to it one day when I have time. I'm going to write voluntary things. But it's so gavaldic. He said, the Mir Yeshiva, someone also wanted to do this voluntary program, and he gives money to it. I don't know how much, but thousands of dollars are collected in the Mir Yeshiva. Okay, Mir Yeshiva had 500 people there. And he says, over there, there's a sign, and it says, if you want to take a bechina, bechinas will be posted, you know, at the end of each, you know, week. And that's it. And you know, take the bechina, and then they give it back to you, and they give you, they don't give you the money. There's no rules, no nothing. And he said, like, that's the beauty of Chofetz Chaim. They can't even, you know, he was like reading into it, you know. But you get a paper clip gemach. I think it's just going to be a paper clip gemach. There's going to be a whole page of things. You can write all your rules. This farm gemach, he has his own rules over there, so you don't take it personally. He's got his own rules by just by a gemach. Right? He's not even giving out any money. But I'm just saying that with the, do a gemach. Do a loosely paper gemach, index card gemach, tissue gemach. It doesn't have to be forever. One tissue. You get one box of tissues, okay? And you can basically gemach, and you can make the rules on it. You can only use it during Seder. If you don't have a tissue, and it has to be for a sneeze, not a cough, you can make any rules you want. And are you gemach? You know, there are so many things that are needed. People have chesed. You help somebody. I love staying over this when I was in yeshiva, I was still single, so Rabbi Luban was in the kolo, and by all the brisim in yeshiva, he used to pour the coffee. I remember, and it was the hardest thing because the base manager was small, relatively small, and they set up these rows, they put all the tables together, but the tables were only tables for two, that had put them all together, it was the biggest hack. And there was no room in between the tables and people sitting back to back. And he walked through each aisle, and they didn't serve coffee, but a bris. They served coffee, and he had a pitcher, and he would go around pouring coffee for, I remember, 150 people there. He went around pouring coffee. Well, why did he go pour coffee? You think there had no one else to pour coffee? You know, but he went. It was his chesed. He went around to do the coffee. Every bris, Ruben, you know, he went to pour the coffee. He took upon himself because nobody was doing it. He found something, you know. It was vintage Rabbi Luban.
Once he was a rabbi.
He was. I didn't know him as Rabbi Luban. I called him by his first name. We knew he was a great chashev kol guy, but you know, now I'd never dare to mention. I'm embarrassed to say I called him by his first name. When I came to Miami, I called Rabbi Grumla by his first name. So that's how I knew him. Then, you know. The Rebbetzin told me I shouldn't do that. I didn't even realize when I came here. Okay. You have Chasdei Lev. Chasdei Lev right next door. You know, It's a great, great opportunity. Mamash, when do you have a chance to mechabed your rebbeim? All the rebbeim. Pick a time. You don't have to do it for 5 hours. Pick a time. Make a rotation. You want it even better? You coordinate. You coordinate. What do they need? Four people? So every person pitches in 30 minutes and everything's covered. So like, wait, someone's going to run around and chase after us? No. We coordinate it. You'll feel like $1 million. You will massage the whole thing. There are people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to mechabed all the rebbeim and rabbanim. It's a beautiful thing. So we should participate. Okay? You don't have to give it over. Don't have to kill your whole week. Yeah, if only two guys do it, yeah, then you have to kill the whole week. Yeah, everyone should pitch in, put in, whatever. 30 minutes each, make a rotation, and be gevaldik, and do it for real. They say that Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was the, Posek Hador, the Gadol Hador, he was also the Tzadik Hador. He mamish had time for everything, for everyone. It was mind-boggling. There was a Russian woman in his building, and she would call every Erev Shabbos, and he would tell her in Russian what time lift benching is. And because the other people couldn't tell her. No, she called, she's not Mana, he wanted to tell her herself. And he would translate letters. People would come over and translate letters, into Russian because they didn't understand English and their water bills. And they would come over. He did so many things, Reb Moshe. He took the time. I read once that a person fulfills, is the average person, 7% of his potential. Hashem gives us, Baruch Bez Hashem, 120 years. There's a lot of downtime available. There's a lot of downtime. No one, and I'm not talking about Seder right now. I'm not Seder or Seder. You have to makdish the Sedarim, otherwise we won't have anything. Okay, so some exception comes up. Okay, fine. But I'm not talking about Seder necessarily now. But a person has to know, lots of things are really important. We shouldn't think, we have time. We can help people with simple things. Laughing is very important. It's important to laugh. If you can't remember the last time you laughed, then I have to do a better job on my jokes. A person has to laugh. Find something that's funny to laugh about. If you're not laughing, you hang around with people that make you laugh. It's very important. A person should smile. Smiling is not for yourself. You never see yourself smile, ever. You don't see yourself smile. But I picture someone like Rav Aaron Schechter. Rav Aaron Schechter I love when he's in town, and because you just have to look at him, and he looks happy, he's smiling. And a person should smile. You want to know, when you smile, so people smile back at you. Why are they smiling back at you? They're smiling back at you because kemayim panim l'panim. It's like he's smiling, so you smile. So I apologize for at the risk of sounding vain. You should look into a mirror. Please do it privately so they don't put you away in a loony bin. You should look in a mirror and see what you look like when you're just there. It's just you. So you should smile. You should figure out how your face should look. Stop. What does your face look? Stop. Sometimes the person doesn't realize that their face could look like... Anyone that walks by says, why is he angry at me? He walked by all day. It's only like a slight eighth of an inch. You walk by certain people, because the guy's always in a bad, crabby mood. And I know he's angry at it. He woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe he got into a fight with his wife. He got into a fight with his mother. He got into a fight with his kavrusa. He got into a fight with his rebbe. He's not learning well, whatever. But it's not fair. You're going to put us all in a bad mood. So you have to look in a mirror and whoop it up. What does your face look like when it's stam? That's what it should be. Everyone should be smiling. Rabbi Feuerman, we'll just have to close because that's not my... Rabbi Feuerman, the first time he came here, I wrote him that in 2001, I wrote him that I felt that the Aviran Yeshiva was not good, it was not healthy, a lot of kids were angry, we had issues of chutzpah, there was some vandalism. So he said, okay, we're gonna conduct a study, research. Rabbi Feuerman was, I called around. I said, I need a consult, educational consultant, I need the best. We'll pay no matter what it costs. So I asked around, people said, okay, the best, I don't know, you'll get him, he's an Israeli, he's a fellowship, he's the chairperson, he's full time. I don't know if he still comes, I don't know if he's still flying. I called him up, you know, and he's gonna come. So I finally came, I'm waiting for this big research. He has his doctorate in education. We're gonna do an analysis of your school and figure out the avira. I figure there's some kind of machine, and they put it in the air, and they test the mold like in the dorm, and we get a number. So he says, okay, we're gonna go. So we're gonna test, see the avira. So I said, how do you test that? How do you test that? He says, we're gonna look to see how many people are smiling. He said, how many people are smiling? That's the big research from Dr. Feuerman? He said, yeah, that's the research. I said, when are you gonna look, during recess? He said, no, the beginning of the day. He said, we start with davening, you mean like during breakfast? He says, no, during davening. He said, why are people gonna be smiling during davening? What's so funny about that? So he says, when people are happy, they smile. When you're happy, you smile. You can see it even during davening. And when people are learning, they're happy. So when you go to the classroom, do you expect to be smiling then? I said, yes. Why? Because when they're happy, they learn. Then we went into Dr. Jacob's place, they're going to study there, they're going to be happy there too. He says, well, if they're happy, they're going to be smiling. And that's how we computed it. Okay? And I mamish studied this for years with him. For years. And we watched the statistics go up as we released the student body from the old guard of detentions and suspensions and knossos and point systems. We watched the levels go up. They tripled. The smiling tripled. No one told any jokes. There were no jokes told during tefillah, during davening. It was simply when people are happy, they smile. And yes, I did the mirror trick also. I try. If you ever see me, if I look like this, then you should just go to remind me, snap out of it, whatever. And we should do that. And by doing all these things, it'll make the learning more enjoyable, more fulfilled, that we won't burn out. We don't want to burn out. We want to be able to go strong. We want to be able to go strong, though, until next summer. Go strong until next summer with a few breaks in between to fulfill the Rashiva's quota of one day a year for every year we are old. We need to be strong, we need to be healthy, we need to be emotionally strong. In order to be able to steig in learning, we have to be able to go strong, we need to be happy. We need to be happy with our chevra, we need to be helping our chevra, we need to play ball with our chevra, we need to do things with our chevra. Team building is very important. You know how much money that big companies expend on team building? They spend so much because when people are part of a team, they work better and they harvest together. So, Bez Hashem, this will keep us healthy.